Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of The Pivot of Change. Today I have a new guest. It's Robin, and Robin is an entrepreneur, healer, and writer, and keeper of the feminine mysteries. And she teaches women how to transcend their trauma, alchemize their pain, fear, and rage into meaningful actions. And she also teaches them how to lead from a heart-centered place and with fierce compassion. And I'm really happy to have you here today, Robin.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And so what I'm really interested in is what kind of inspired you to really dive into the feminine mysteries, and you also call the goddess. What kind of inspired you?
Yeah, that's a great opening question. Like so many people who feel connected to this path, it wasn't really something that I sought out. It more kind of started presenting itself to me. So for, you know, my story, I really didn't relate to a lot of the world for a long time because I had been through a very traumatizing early experience. So for me, my spirituality really started with like plants, animals, the earth, like getting in touch with nature, these kinds of things. And as we know, this is part of the goddess path, which is relating to the natural rhythms of the earth and really connecting with something beyond just the everyday motions of our lives and what we call the 3D experience, right? So really tapping into what is the essence of the ever-blooming nature of the beautiful world that we exist on and in. So that was kind of a doorway for me into what are the feminine arts, because really when we connect with nature, we're connecting with the essential parts of ourselves and with the soul and with our true divinity as well, in my opinion, because when we go into the natural world, we see and experience the true perfection of everything that is there. Our mind stills, our breathing stills, we just really come into relationship even with the deeper part of the soul. And so being in nature, we really get to experience the truth of who we are. And this is very much part and parcel to the origins of goddess worship, which are very much to do with really worshiping the earth, the mother, you know, Gaia, the divine earth mother, and the feminine in all things. So the feminine being that which is born and dies and composts and creates and feels deeply and moves powerfully. And when we do look at the natural world, we see things like, you know, the fierceness of the mother bear, right? So she's like this fierce feminine power. Or we see the gentleness of a spring breeze, or we see the monumental size and power of a tsunami, right? We see actually all the faces of the feminine represented in the natural world. And so for me, and for many people, this is true, when we have hard experiences in life, you know, I didn't really relate to a traditional idea of God or the universe or even spirit at that point. And so all I could really feel connected to was nature and animals and kind of the plant and animal kingdom. So without knowing it, that sort of put me on the goddess path, right? So I was connecting with her all the time, and I wouldn't have called it as such, but that's what was happening. And I kind of went on to start to learn about more of the goddess lineages themselves, and actually studying, you know, some of these different archetypes that we all embody through actually getting involved more politically. I was very into punk rock in my teenage years, which was another place that I kind of felt like I could identify and feel at home. And as a woman in that culture and in that space, it's a lot of conversation about kind of subverting, you know, the status quo, right? So taking up a lot of space, being loud, being welcome, like in what is traditionally a boys' club. And I got very involved in feminism that way. So the two roads started to merge. So I had this very political feminist side to me that was kind of awakening. And then I also had this deep connection to the natural world. And so eventually I started getting into teachers like Starhawk, whose book, The Spiral Dance, is a really profound and kind of formal introduction into goddess worship and some of those ancient practices. And of course, Women Who Run With the Wolves by Clarissa Pinkola Estes. So those were kind of two books that started to really steer me onto the path of the feminine arts. And from there, as it does, everything unfolded. So I got you know, initiated into a lot of the priestess mysteries. I started to recall more information that I perhaps had from, you know, other lifetimes or that was being given to me in different ways. And I just started to really understand that that was my path, and it was to relate to the divine feminine in all things, and not just her, but really to bring back that energy onto the planet in a really healed way so that we can co-create together what is unity. So that is the short version of how that all kind of worked for me and how I got into it.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Because you mentioned as well your connection to nature and how it really brings us in touch with our own feminine energy as well. Because a lot of times people might think that spirituality is something outside of yourself, or we hear a lot of about the universe and all these amazing things that are also higher truths, but we can sometimes forget that it's also here on earth. Mm. And that's for us the easiest and simplest way for us to connect to spirit or to our own goddess energy so easily and so fast.
And it's especially powerful because it takes out the human filter of things. So for example, you know, a lot of spiritual people sometimes will have that fear of relating to abundance or to money and these kinds of things, because there's a lot of human interaction with those things that can make us afraid of it. But when we go out into the natural world, it's all we see, right? This growth and expansion and abundance, like the abundant harvest, the natural state of living things. So beautiful and miraculous. And the same is true often with women and really with anyone, because I don't just work with women, even though I speak to these topics, but we can be afraid to work with our anger, for example, or to stand up for ourselves. And so one of the examples I gave in terms of the faces of the feminine, when we think about a mother bear, for example, who's like protective of her cubs and is this divine mother figure, that's also something we can connect to when we think about standing up for and protecting ourselves. So it becomes a lot easier instead of this story of like, it's really scary to speak my truth or to stand up for myself or being angry is bad. Then we have in nature all of these, what I feel are very pure expressions of actually everything that we embody as well.
Yeah, because a lot of times we have like this social conditioning, and it's also because of different religions and what you mentioned as well, a certain status quo that kind of makes us behave in certain ways. And I think also it's this idea that a lot of women have, we want to be good and we want to be loved and I think and be liked who we are, and then we can be afraid to be angry or to be really protective. And do you maybe have some advice also for people who might be listening that can really find it difficult to express their anger or to really get in touch with more of that our nature in that way?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing to know, of course, is that all emotions are visitors, as we know. And they're not our identity. So we want to be really mindful not to say like, I'm an angry person or whatever it is, or even to judge people as that, because that when we're judging them, we're really just seeing our own fear reflected back to us, that we're afraid to be angry, right? We're not in touch with that aspect of ourselves. So the first thing to know is that it's not our identity, it's just an experience that presents itself. And emotions are so important, and they are really signposts and guideposts for the process that we're going through in our human healing journey to really kind of reconnect with our own divine spirit. So anger itself is very powerful, because what's underneath anger usually is deep and profound sadness and grief. Mm-hmm. And it kind of works in layers like a sandwich. We have the anger, and then underneath we have the sadness. And the anger is important because it shows us a lot about the times where maybe we didn't get to speak up when we have wanted to, or we weren't able to create boundaries or protect ourselves and we would have wanted to, or we start to understand something about the world and how, you know, we interpret it and it makes us angry. And anger on its own isn't really helpful if we just sit in it, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the feminine arts that I teach is emotional alchemy. And the alchemical process, of course, is to take whatever that base material is, and so in this case, it's the emotion of anger, right? And to then add another quality to it to then transmute it into something else. So in the case of anger, you know, what I usually say is we add love, add a dose of love with the anger. So say we're upset about a time that we couldn't speak up for ourselves. The way to get to the love there is to know that we're not alone in that experience. That's something that almost everyone on the planet has been through, you know, especially as a child or whatever has happened to us. We bring in the dose of love, which is love for ourselves at that point in time, like really compassionately loving that aspect of ourselves. And also a lot of love for the fact that there are so many people who are experiencing that same source of pain and anger. That's the love. And then what is born from that union and that marriage, that alchemical marriage, the transmutation that takes place is then we have passion. So actually my entire business, everything that I do in a way is fueled by what would be anger, but is actually passion, right? So my distaste for perhaps some of the ways of social conditioning that are very harmful or have been harmful for all of us, some of the many variety, varied experiences that I've had as a person, you know, in terms of trauma, and just knowing that that is not an exception, right? It's almost the rule that everyone has had these experiences in some way. So for me to get to a place of passion with that story instead of just being angry allows me to then take action, right? So it's really powerful to be able to work with anger and to actually use it as a tool to then create. The creative expression is one of the most important aspects that we have in order to really powerfully move some of the emotions that we hold. And it can really be anything, you know, sadness, anger, whatever it is, to then use that to be expressed creatively and to give birth to something allows us actually then to come back into the present and to, it's sort of like a ritual or a ceremony that we hold. And then that aspect of us has been expressed, right? And it's taken another form and then we can kind of move forward. So that is one way to work with anger and to start to honor it, because it's a very, very important message. And especially when it's coming up repeatedly or it's being triggered very often, it's just saying, I'm here, pay attention to me. You know, these strong emotions are kind of like little kids in their own way. And they're like, I'm right here, like I'm knocking on your door and you're not looking at me, right? So one of the worst things we can do is to suppress or ignore that experience. On the opposite end of the spectrum, I teach breathwork, which is an emotional alchemy embodied practice where we take kind of what is stored in the sacral area, move it through the heart, and then we're able to breathe it out. Because working on a somatic level and with the body as well, especially with anger, is really, really important. So any kind of movement we can do, breathwork is a great practice as well, and hopefully people can find it, you know, around them or work with someone online or reach out to me if they need more information. But then the other piece of that, of course, is moving the body. When anger is stuck in the body, really when anything is stuck in the body, but especially anger because it's such a hot emotion, it can cause a lot of disturbance in the energetic field if we repress it for too long. And it will eventually turn into, right? We know this to be true. So moving the body is really important, and it doesn't have to be aggressive movement, although that might feel really good if you're angry, like kickboxing or going for a run or like going for, you know, something that really feels like you're physically moving a lot of strength. Right? So like a hike, something like this. And also if you can be outside, all the better, because you can allow that energy then to be released back into the earth with permission from her, of course. And the last piece is for a lot of people, and what was very true for me was a lot of the anger that I felt was actually a need to vocalize. So as a woman, I had never had a safe space to scream in my life, like as an adult and probably even as a kid, I'm sure, you know, that expression was shut down for me. And that, you know, on an animal level is one of the ways that we just discharge that energy, right? Just like shaking is another way to discharge those old energies. So I have a video called 6 Ways to Scream, where I kind of teach people how to hold ceremony for their anger in a really safe way. Because another thing we want to know about our emotions, and especially the stronger ones, is that we never want to put them on other people, which we end up doing if we don't have an emotional hygiene practice, an emotional kind of support system for ourselves. And that can really look like anything. It's, you know, our own rituals, our own ceremonies. And even also, of course, like working with someone else, whether it's a therapist or a coach or a healer or whomever, to really address these things. But yeah, the vocalization piece was really helpful. And I think there's an aspect, especially for all of us, of the collective masculine and the collective feminine, each having their own forms of rage, that mm-hmm. when it is expressed primally through a scream at some point or through profound movement, that is really just like a container that we create to really safely move that stuff and not put it on other people. And also, you know, we're not doing it to harm ourselves by any means whatsoever. It's really through love. It's about self-love and loving the part of us that didn't get to make that noise or make that movement or whatever it was. And that's very profound. So those are some of the ways that I suggest working with anger, but it really applies to everything too. Just really, it's about having a relationship with yourself of complete acceptance and knowing that whatever you are feeling, it's up to you to really ask, how does this want to be moved? Does it need to be addressed? Because again, sometimes, you know, our emotions are visitors, and so we don't always need to get attached to them and go deep into them. Sometimes it's better to just let them move and kind of move on. But that's about us really, again, using our intuition, being in relationship with ourselves and honoring what we need moment by moment.
Yeah, it's beautiful, because I think releasing emotions like anger is also very, like emotional alchemy in general, is a very intuitive process.
Yeah.
And it's something, usually our body already knows how to release it. Mm-hmm. And of course, like you mentioned as well, if you still have difficulty with that, there are always people that can help you and guide you through that. And I think breath work is always a beautiful way as well. Mm-hmm. And I also had within sessions myself, because I was someone that really suppressed my anger, because mm-hmm. being angry is really this label of being bad, you know. And then I knew, I was in the session and it was with this therapist, and she was like, be angry, be angry. And first it felt like really awkward to me. It was like, yeah, I'm going to be a little bit angry. And then she was, no, continue, because she felt it really had to be released. So for some people, it might, the feeling is still so unfamiliar because you never were allowed to express it. So it feels strange, or maybe in the beginning, no, that's okay too. And yeah. Other people might have that with crying or expressing other emotions, that it's okay if it feels a little bit weird or strange in the beginning. And it's really about letting go of that resistance so we can really release it.
Yeah. Yeah, and knowing too, also, like just another perspective as well, is the longer we spend avoiding our own feelings, we're actually giving ourselves the message of being re-abandoned, because that core essential part of us is asking for our help, is like speaking to us, right? And then because we've been so indoctrinated into social and cultural conditioning that says there are only certain acceptable ways to behave, then we continue to shut ourselves down. And this continues to feed the system that says, you know, that that women should be clad and small, they should be seen and not heard, whatever it is that different people have learned. And so especially, you know, working with archetypes can be very useful to mitigate some of that. If anyone does feel awkward or strange starting to get into an emotion, you can channel your idea of, like, you know, the wild woman, or like a fierce, badass, powerful woman, you know, and how she might stand up to someone who's putting her down, like whoever, Beyonce, or, you know, like if someone insulted Beyonce, she's not going to stand there and just be nice and quiet, right? So it's really helpful too. There are different allies that we can call in as well to help us do that. Yeah, and that's a good point.
Yeah, that's great advice as well. And I feel like you said, movement is such a good way to release anger. Whenever I've worked on anger, I always have this need to move or do something of movement as well. And what you also mentioned, so it was like the feminine and masculine, that they both have different anger. But what you know as well is that we both have like feminine and masculine energy within us. So Could you maybe describe the difference between feminine and masculine energy?
Yeah, so I often use also the terminology yin and yang or yin and yang. We can also say lunar and solar. I think it can get a little confusing for people because we've been so trained to look at masculine and feminine as kind of these very specific gendered identities. But really, when we look at them from an energetic place, it's more just about these different aspects of us that create the whole. And so the feminine is more about our receptivity, our deep feeling, our ability to be intuitive and actually to connect with our emotions. The feminine is more quote unquote passive, but not in that she doesn't necessarily take action or do anything. It's just that she's more in the receptive place of like taking her cues from spirit. She's more tapped into the universe. She is the creatrix. So the creative energy is the feminine, and the sensual and the celebratory and that kind of vibration. And then with our masculine energy, which is more young or more active, it's more linear. It gives us direction, gives us structure. It's kind of like the backbone energy. It's the self-protection. Oftentimes, you know, we're actually, it's important to look at these energies separate from whatever our preferred gender identity is, because even a very feminine woman might actually be very much in her masculine energy, especially because a lot of people are still in, you know, fight or flight mode and just in self-protection and survival. And that keeps us very much in masculine, you know, the linear place where, again, we will have a hard time connecting with our emotions and allowing them to be expressed because we're actually not in touch with the feminine side of us, which sounds pretty strange for people who think like, oh, I'm very feminine, you know, I perform my gender in this way, this is what it looks like, I identify with that. So that's important to know. And there are also different ways that those energies can be expressed on a kind of a scale of sort of, you know, when they're in a healthy place and when they're in a more contracted place. So, you know, the contracted masculine, or when it's quote unquote immature, right, is when we don't want to take responsibility for things, right? Or we don't like decision making or any number of things like this. So looking at kind of the shadow side of these energies is really important as well. But that's what they look like. And if you literally think about it, a yin yang, like the sign, where there's the two parts, you have the light and the dark, or the like dichotomy of the two, and then there's a drop of each in both sides. And that is inner sacred union, or the inner harmony, the inner marriage, or what is called hieros gamos, that exists within us. And in many sacred traditions, this is also looked to as essentially the path to full unification with our divine spirit. So when we're out of balance in one place or the other, it's really hard to feel completely connected to, you know, whatever source energy we believe in, because the communication is interrupted by these kind of aberrations in our own frequency due to inharmonious inner dynamics. And then, of course, we play these out in the world without realizing it, because often the development of these energies within us is contracted or affected by a lot of our early experiences. So our identity and our ideas about the world are largely formed, you know, by age 7, when our subconscious mind has really kind of recorded and taken everything in about the world. And so a lot of these ways that we perform that energy or allow it to be expressed is actually contingent upon the messages that we've received or what we've seen from like our parents or other family members or friends at that time. So there's a really important process for each individual. The body of my work actually is called Rewilding for this reason, because it's about actually coming back into a relationship with yourself where you remove all of those layers or those filters or those screens that are over what would be your true expression of yourself. And it's important to note as well that everyone has different kind of balances of masculine and feminine energy. It can all look very different. So there's not one kind of like goal that could be said that's like the one right way to be or something like that. It's more about you understanding within yourself what feels correct and aligned for your particular soul path and expression.
So what is something that we could do to bring more inner harmony between both our masculine and feminine energy Because mm-hmm. what you said, it's different for everyone because we're all unique and we express it in different ways.
Yeah. I mean, usually where we have the most resistance, it's always true that that tends to be where we actually need to do some more work, right? Because we're out of alignment or out of relationship with what's there. So if we're really bad at creating boundaries, if we're really bad at making decisions, then that's a sign that we want to strengthen our inner yang or yang, masculine energy, and just practice, you know, what that feels like. And doing things like even, you know, practicing in the mirror, like a conversation that you have to have where you really have to stand up for yourself, for example. And really looking also like being a hunter of goodness. So if we let our minds just kind of do their own thing, they're going to go looking for evidence that, you know, we're not safe or the world is scary or whatever it is. So when we start to direct ourselves and actually go seeking for what we want evidence of actively, then we'll find it, right? So if we want to see in the world a really healthy masculine expression, right, which is the protector, which is the boundaries, which is, you know, the linear, the leadership in a lot of ways, although leadership is also a feminine quality to some degree because of the compassion and the heart-centeredness that's required, which is obviously not something we've seen totally on the global scale, but the shift is happening as we see. But so basically you want to go looking for those expressions. And you know, for it really depends on the person and their experience, but one common thing with women, of course, is feeling out of alignment with their own inner masculine because they have felt very at odds with it externally, right? Like maybe they've had an experience of a negative experience with the masculine energy, mm-hmm. or they feel this way. And so then we'll kind of abandon it in ourselves because it feels scary to be in touch with that energy, right? So what we want to do then is, again, just figure out, okay, what does a healthy masculine expression look like? And if we haven't had that in our lives, then we can start to look to the mythical, right? The mythopoetic, the archetypal, and, you know, the spiritual in a lot of ways too. Or even like, you know, one thing you can do is even like make a vision board or a Pinterest of like divine masculine, right? Or the like yang energy, and you can use imagery like, you know, Shiva, Ganesh, like these kinds of things, and Archangel Michael, or whoever speaks to you really, but just really looking for that warrior spirit and connecting with it in a way where the desire to honor it within yourself is because we really want to co-create it on the planet, right? And bring that healing forth. And we all have a role to play in that. And then, you know, the other, on the flip side, of course, if we're not great at receiving, if we're not great at listening to our intuition, if we're not great at being creative and honoring our creativity, if we're not great at being in relationship with our emotions and honoring them and kind of having ceremony for them, if we're not great at honoring the cycles of life in totality from, you know, the minuscule, which is every day, being a birth and a death, right? We wake up and we go to sleep, and that's like one world. And then there's another one which comes the next day. So, you know, really starting to work with ceremony on the feminine side is so, so, so important, and really allows us to be in tune with spirit and the soul. The feminine is more of the deeply, deeply spiritual side. So whereas the masculine really helps us to ground that and channel that onto this earth plane. So we really need both. And a lot of people, you know, we tend to be stronger in one or the other. So just practicing what we're not good at, you know, is always true. So just knowing yourself, knowing where you might feel like you could get a little bit stronger, and practicing it and exploring what feels good for you and right for you on your personal path, and allowing yourself to be guided as well. Because if you ask, of course, you will get the correct kind of, you know, steps for you, or the correct resources that are going to help you. And so having your relationship with whatever you believe in, again, so you can ask directly, whether that's, you know, your ancestors or your spirit guides or God, goddess, universe, whatever, you know, really asking. And even taking that into meditation and saying, I'd like to connect more with this side of myself, or these abilities can help me, thank you for guiding me. It can be very simple that way.
Yeah, that's amazing. And also for people who are interested in maybe diving deeper into their own spirituality and doing different ceremonies to release emotions, mm-hmm. How could they kind of start doing that if they're not that familiar with it yet?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many traditions and so many paths mm-hmm. where we could be very committed to a particular tradition or path, and that's worth exploring, you know, just starting to read, like going to your bookstore and just seeing what you feel called to, you know, going to the spirituality section and just seeing what jumps out at you and starting to study. Even the internet, you know, I believe that God, Goddess, Universe is like also working through the internet. So even if you type in like, how do I, you know, hold ceremony for my emotions, something might come up, or you might be guided to something that's really important for you. But, you know, for me, what I always teach is that the most important relationship you're ever going to have, of course, is with yourself. So despite, you know, other teachers and other people having really powerful teachings, what is the most important is to be able to discern what exactly you need. So intuitive ceremony is the most powerful when you create it, you know, step by step, because it's going to be exactly what your soul is asking for, right? Whereas when we're just following a template, sometimes it might not be as powerful because we're not getting those little like idiosyncrasies that our spirit might be asking for, right? But you know, the basic, of course, is just like creating a sacred space for yourself. So again, meditating, calling on whoever you believe in, asking for guidance, lighting the candles, putting out the flowers, whatever feels right to you, putting on the music, just creating the sacred space. Everyone can do that in the way that makes sense to them. And then, you know, from there, just asking, like, do I need to creatively express? Like, do I need to be journaling and writing? Is that part of my ceremony? Is that how this emotion wants to go? Do I need to move my body? Like, do I need to put on some angry music and, like, thrash my hair around and like stomp on the floor, right? Or is it more slow? Like, do I need to slow down and let my hips move and let the sadness start to move itself? Yeah. Or is it a breathwork ceremony, right? Do I need to do breathing so I can unlock some of the cellular and somatic pieces of this? So it's really about asking, you know, and asking yourself. And that, I think, is the most simple thing in the world, but it's also the most confronting and challenging thing for a lot of people, because we've been so trained to look outside of ourselves for the answers. And so for me, despite, you know, having so many initiations and certifications and all of the things, I'll never say there's one right way to do this or there's one best, you know, way to do this, because it's really, truly going to have to come ultimately from within you as well. So that's my 10 cents on that. I think intuitive ceremony is really powerful. And then of course, once we start to learn some of these more specific practices and lineages and study with them, then we'll know, okay, I exactly want to do this practice right now. But some days you're going to feel totally different. Like, I need to drive to the beach and like just run into the ocean and like get really wet and like have a self baptism to like, you know, mark the end of this chapter or whatever. That's something I've done before, you know, and we get these crazy intuitive ideas. Mm-hmm. And then the rational mind, of course, would be like, no, that's, you know, that's weird. Or like, people are going to look at you and think you're crazy or whatever. But that information, again, when we don't listen to it, we are abandoning ourselves in a way and kind of perpetuating that inner narrative. So it's really important. It's so important to start to listen. And I think cultivating the inner listening is something that is deeply important, especially right now at this time on our planet when we're going through such a crazy transition. If we can't listen, it's going to be really hard, right? We have to be able to do inner listening. Yeah,
that's a beautiful explanation, because sometimes it's just really simple, because I think it was a week ago, and then I was really like, I'm going to do this meditation with this ceremony. Mm-hmm. And then something within me was like, no, you're going to take a bath. You're just going to take a bath. And then instead of that, I just take a bath. I light some candles, like really simple. And even though it was extremely healing to just do that. And I think that's why it's so beautiful advice to really follow your intuition. And of course, if something sparks your curiosity, really dive deep into it. I think that's always a great sign when something pops out for you.
Yeah.
You also teach and talk a lot about inner union as well. So how would you kind of describe that, what inner union is?
Yeah, so I think our relationship with ourselves is always going to be mirrored back to us in our experiences out in the world. Like I said, so if we have judgments of other people, it's usually because we're afraid of some part of ourselves, right? You know, Carl Jung, of course, says, you know, whatever aspect of the shadow is not you know, allowed to come up and integrate into yourself, is you're going to see it, you're going to experience it in the world. And we're kind of going through that on a collective level right now. Like, a lot of the purging and clearing that's happening in our world is because it's within our collective, it's within our collective consciousness, and to some degree within all of us, which is, you know, could be a scary thing to think about. But we are a human family, you know, we are very entangled and interconnected with each other. So in my belief system, you know, there really isn't separation between us. We have these unique imprinting, but for example, the healing that I do for myself is not just affecting me, right? It's really actually rippling out in quite a profound way. And it's also working on my lineage, so my ancestors and, you know, my future children as well. And I think we can understand that very tangibly. Like, if I take the time to heal, there's less that I'll then hand down to my children, right? And then I'm actually contributing to a global healing, because that's fewer people that go out into the world feeling, you know, completely unloved and abandoned, right? Or learning that. So that's really important. But the inner union is, again, at a very basic, like, simple way to put it, is just having a powerful, deep, and divine relationship with yourself, where you truly understand that you are a child of the universe, you know, wholly and completely. So you're in complete and total acceptance of your shadow self, and you allow that to be integrated. That's one aspect of the inner union, because the union is not just the masculine and feminine, it's also the quote-unquote lightness and dark. But we need contrast, right? We cannot know the light or our own power if we haven't been through experiences to understand what it's like to not have power, right? Or to not be in the light. And so while we get very attached to, you know, the painful stories that we have about things, there is some larger purpose that is there. And I do believe we have a lot of free will choice and agency in terms of, you know, how we respond to things and how we choose to alchemize them, and what we then go on to do with our lives. So the inner marriage and the inner union is very important, because it is also what predisposes us to be able to do our purpose work. So for a lot of people, because I teach spiritual entrepreneurship, it's not like I'm just teaching people like, okay, here's a blueprint and a template to build your business, right? Because that's not how it works. Like, actually 80, probably 90% of really being in a position of true leadership and actually doing very conscious business is about this healing and relationship with yourself. So you'll see it, entrepreneurship is a great example, because you'll see mirrored back to you where you're not in relationship with your masculine energy or your feminine, right? So for example, you know, a lot of like ladies that come into my business school, I'll have to really teach them about having contracts, right? Because they'll be like, well, I just signed up a client and then they disappeared, right? And I'm like, well, did you have a contract to be able to say like, hey, you agreed to this, like root chakra basic stuff, right? Protection, boundaries, feeling safe. And they're like, no. So that's when we know, you know, we're out of alignment maybe with that ability in ourselves. And that inner union is when we've kind of worked through a lot of these little pieces to really feel pretty solid in ourselves, like safe to set a boundary, right? Safe to feel a feeling on both sides, like really safe to go high into the spiritual realms and also feel really good and aware of like, we're on earth, like we really chose to be here to be these beautiful divine warriors for each other, right? And to really anchor into that. So an archetype that embodies this inner union very well, in my opinion, is the priestess. She's basically the conduit and the activist on earth. So channeling the celestial and grounding it on the earthly. You can't do that if you're afraid to speak up. You can't do that if you're afraid to create a boundary. You can't do that if you're afraid to feel your feelings. You can't do that if you're not in touch with your heart. You certainly can't do that if you're afraid to be seen, right? And so it's about just, it's a mirror for our healing journey. So there isn't really like an end goal where suddenly, you know, an angel flies down and gives you a certificate that says you're now like have an inner marriage, right? Like you now have inner union. It's more like an ongoing process of life where our goal and like everything we start to really see and understand is about self-love. Self-love is the generator for everything. It's the source of our manifestation abilities. It's the source of our healing truly. And it's the source of our connection to the universe. It's self-love. When we're really in that place of openness, acceptance, and compassion, then we're really walking our talk, right? Because we're not going out into the world and judging people. We're not going out into the world and being violent. We're not being violent towards ourselves because we love ourselves and we no longer want to abandon ourselves or deny what we're feeling or pretend that, you know, staying one more day in that job or that relationship or whatever the experience is that's not serving our soul is okay. So it's a lot of very challenging initiations, that path of inner sacred union. But it's also the path, you know, for those people who believe in this or align with it, of then being able to experience outer, you know, sacred union, which is like a twin flame relationship or a divine harmonious relationship of that nature, because our relationships are always mirroring that back to us. So whether it's like clients in a business or friendships or family or romantic partnership, we get to see directly what's going on with our inner harmony, right? Because we'll be experiencing it. And that's not to say, like, if we have a really mean partner, it's because we're a really mean person. Sometimes people try to make it like a direct corollary. Mm-hmm. It's more because we weren't loving ourselves yet at the point where we were not available for that, right? Or we were still willing to tolerate it on some level, right? There was still some agreement there. So that's more what the reflection is, rather than being like, oh, I am that person, so I have exactly their personality, right? And so sometimes that gets lost in transition. But that's what inner union is for me. And it's really about empowerment, ultimately, because it's in your hands, you know? It's not like, I'm dependent on, you know, this healer because I won't be healed unless this healer does this for me. It's more like inquiring with yourself, where am I out of alignment with being in my highest expression? What am I learning moment by moment? And actually, more importantly, what am I being shown in all these experiences? Like, what is the message there? Is there some way that I can be more loving towards myself? It's really a great question to ask every single moment, because it doesn't need to be complicated and healing doesn't need to be this hard, aggressive, like intense thing. Like sometimes we make it really, like I've got so much more healing to do, or like, oh, there's another like layer, whatever. It's more like every time we get to that place, there's an opening and a blooming and a blossoming that happens. So it's more of a celebration, like, oh, I'm getting this challenging lesson. Great, I'm about to expand. And so part of, again, just bringing it back to the feminine mysteries, because sacred union and Hieros Gamos is actually does come, that sort of terminology does come from the priestess path and from that lineage. But it's reflected in a lot of different cultures and talked about in different ways. You know, eventually we get to a place where there is no other option to really honor ourselves. And so that's a good place to be, of course.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing, because I think it's always so really important that our initiation to healing comes from a place of self-love. Mm-hmm. And not from a place of, oh, we need to fix ourselves, because then we're able to receive this, or like romantic partnership or more success in our business, because then it doesn't really work, because we get kind of into this healing trap. And yeah, it's really important that it comes from a place of self-love. Mm-hmm. And I love the examples you gave about how our reality, so within work, within your business, or in a relationship, can reflect it back to us. For me, my business, it was a lot of time for me. I didn't want to be seen, or mm-hmm. I didn't want to speak up, and mm-hmm. it just wasn't working. And every time I asked, like, why isn't it working? I got the message, you need to speak up mm-hmm. more. And then I wouldn't do it. And then when I started doing it, really, my business and other things really started to come up, and I got different opportunities as well. So it's really important for us to see, not blame ourselves or not blame us things outside of ourselves, but to kind of see more as a mirror. Oh, what can I learn from this? Do you maybe also have some questions you can ask when you want to become more self-aware of what is not working for you, or you want to become aware of, if you kind of know what I mean?
Yeah, like when something hard is happening?
Yeah. So when you're in a situation, yes.
Yeah, well, there's so many layers to that question because it's a very multi-layered thing. But the basic level is, you know, what is this teaching me? What is this showing me? And that's to come from an empowered place, right? Rather than, of course, why is this happening to me, as we know. Because our default a lot of the time when we're tired, when we're exhausted, when we can't deal anymore is to say, why is this happening to me? But actually, if we're not heeding or really seeing the messages because we're not slowing down to pay attention, which is again a cultural and social training to move quickly, to like bypass everything, to just like go, have to go get things, right? Instead of learning to receive and really be in a magnetic place of being in connection with yourself, then we will of course default to thinking that the world is crumbling down around us. But what happens is if we haven't slowed down to really listen and hear and get these signs, then they get more intense, right? They increase in intensity. So if we're not getting a lesson, it's going to eventually show up in like a really challenging way, because finally that's the wake-up call, right? And you'll hear a lot of people talk about this perspective with things like cancer and like really hard illnesses or like divorce, like really challenging initiations in their life where they maybe finally had this shift in perspective where they were like, oh, okay, I finally understand that this is what I was not paying attention to all that time. You know, I wasn't listening to myself. I wasn't honoring myself. And eventually it just kept snowballing and snowballing until this is what had to be put in my path for me to finally wake up and love myself. And, you know, we can be resistant to looking at things from that perspective, but it is not, like you said, it's not about blaming ourselves. It's like, it's about looking for the path of most expansion, because that's what we're here to do. So the expansiveness comes from being willing to see things as an initiation rather than as, you know, perhaps a victimization. With that said, of course, we do live in a polarity, right? So we're very spiritual beings, but we are on the third dimensional plane. So, you know, there is co-creation. Everything is there for a reason. It is actually happening for us 100%. But there may also sometimes be a part where it's not just about passively taking in those lessons. There may be an action piece. So like if somebody like said something, you know, mean to you on the internet, right? It's not just like, oh, what is this teaching me? It's showing me that I've been judging myself, right? Okay, let it go. We're done. It's not always that, because it might come back if there's an action piece, which is like to stand up for yourself or to have more discretion in place, like just to protect your space, right? There's usually an action piece that's involved too. So that's really important to know. But you know, the basic thing is that we're trained from birth to feel like we're in a fearful universe, and we're not. And so the rewilding and the retraining has to be about somehow I'm being guided and loved and protected right now, somehow, no matter what's happening. There is some aspect of this that is somehow going to be for me, whether it's eventual or whether it's immediate, right? And with the really painful, hard stuff in our lives, like abuse, trauma, you know, rape, all of these things, I've experienced them too. But eventually it's like, there's no way I could do the work that I'm doing if I hadn't had certain experiences in my life, because you simply cannot be compassionate for another human who's been through that experience having not been through it yourself, right? It would be like trying to, teach someone about rock climbing when you've only ever read a book about it, right? But you're going to take the rock climbing. That's really scary, right? Never actually like lived through it. So that's my opinion on those things is like, and often, you know, this is the last thing I'll say, the more challenging the life path, the more expansive the purpose, the more people you're here to reach and help. 100%, it's true every single time. So just know that. And, you know, for anyone who's listening and feeling like they're going through a really hard time, it is, you know, initiation into a higher state of power. It's spirituality, ultimately, which is a gift. You may not feel like it right away, but eventually it will be.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that, because that was definitely for me the case. And I call it usually a blessing in disguise. And because I was also, I've been really sick, so I had heart disease and I had a heart attack. And for me, that was my initiation, kind of. And I would never be able to do what I'm doing today or to understand healing and all these things on a very deep level if I'd never been through that experience. Mm-hmm. And that's why I loved your advice, is to know that you're supported in that. Mm-hmm. That's always what helped me to get through to this deep inner knowing. And sometimes you doubt it as well, and that's okay too.
Yeah.
You know, allow yourself to question things as well. Mm-hmm. But to really deeply, deeply know that. And it's this inner knowing that you can always get back to. And that has always helped me through challenging times.
Yeah, it's so true.
And Reverend, I really want to thank you so much for being here today. You shared so much wisdom, and I know it will be really helpful. And it's also been helpful for me listening to it. So again, I really want to thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. And if they want to know more about the work you're doing or just know more about you, where can they find you?
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram, Robin Lee, L-E-E, .444. I also have like a free course at thepriestessfrequency.com. And then my website is robinlee444.com.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, we'll also put the links in the description as well to make it a bit easier. But again, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you so much.